Redeemer, and Sustainer.
Amen.
In the second reading this morning, the Acts of the Apostles, very early in the story, I guess we can recognize one thing, and that is Peter has sure found his voice as a leader. That's what you remember, Peter? Peter all through the Gospels, Peter sometimes getting it right, and most of the time getting it wrong. Peter of wavering faith. Peter of the great denial of Jesus in those last 2 hours of his life. I do not know the man. Well, he's made a dramatic 180-degree turn, for sure. And here, in this passage, he declares unequivocally his faith in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once rejected, now reigning in heaven, risen and ascended. And the backstory, which it's too bad we don't get the whole passage, we got part of this last week, we don't really get the real story, as it were, because what is behind this is the first healing account in the book of Acts, the first time that the apostles gathered with Peter have actually testified to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and there has been Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and this, which we did not hear about, is the first healing story that they accomplished. And it unfolded as follows. Peter and John go up to the temple. The early Christians were still very much part of Jewish rite and Jewish ceremony, and they go up to the temple, and it says specifically at 3 in the afternoon, which, of course, is the time that Jesus died on the cross. And as they're going in, they encounter a man, a beggar, lame from birth, whom people have been carrying daily to the temple entrance and laying him there so that he can beg for money. And so that action meets his immediate need, but doesn't solve his real challenge. So Peter and John approach on their way into the temple, and this man asks them for money, and Peter utters these familiar words, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I share with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." And Peter helps him to his feet, and rejoicing he goes into the temple, healed and made whole, and causes, as you can imagine, quite a commotion. I mean, this is the person everyone is saying, wait a minute, isn't this a very typical story? Isn't this the same person who's been lying for days, months, if not years, who we have been carrying up to the steps and leading here? Isn't this the same man who now has been healed? What is going on? So we break into the story now. Peter and John have been brought before all the religious power brokers in Jerusalem, all that huge list of people, to explain what happened. Now notice that how tricky this question is, what power of authority or whatever have you done this? Wouldn't you think they might just stop to ask some other more profound questions, such as, how did you heal this man? Or, how can we share in bringing your healing gifts to others? Or, you know, that was pretty brilliant of you to heal him rather than just give him money, which is what we've been trying for all this time to no avail. Or something like, thank you for helping this man regain his mobility and his independence. The question is loaded, of course. You two couldn't possibly have done this by yourselves. By what power outside of you did you do this? How did you pull this off? What power helped you? And Peter makes a declaration of faith. We've done what Jesus would have done through and in and with us and through and in all that he taught us. It is really Jesus who has healed this man. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has healed this man.
Today is Good Shepherd Sunday, woven through all of our readings, particularly this passage and, of course, the Gospel reading. I came across a wonderful poem by Paul Ann Peterson about Good Shepherd Sunday. I knew nothing about her, but, of course, looked it up. She is the sometime poet laureate of the state of Oregon, a lifelong native in England, high school English teacher by her first occupation. She wrote this poem about Good Shepherd Sunday. Stars, you are the heaven's flock, peeling your pale wool across the night sky. Stars, your bits of oily fleece catching on bars of darkness to swirl in black wind. You appear and disappear by thousands, scattered wide to graze, but never stray. While I, a mere shepherd of these words, am lost. What can I do but build a small blaze and feed it with branches the trees will fall? That twiggy clatter strewn along the ground, and lichen crusting such dead limbs glows silver and rose white. The earth food for a fire so unlike and like your own. Oh, what can I do but build a small blaze? In addition to the wonderful metaphor of sheep and stars, that emerging pale wool across the night sky, bits of oily fleece, in addition to those wonderful metaphors, she then brings to light her own concerns. I might be a shepherd as well, but what can I do but only build a small blaze in comparison with all those strangers and all those true shepherds around me? How many small blazes together can we light that can change life? How many small blazes in her life change the lives of those around her? The apostles did just that, beginning with this healing and then continuing on through many countless other healings. They started small blazes. They built small fires as shepherds of Jesus. They were sent to heal, to help, to raise up those who needed raising. We had a very captivating speaker at Lunch, Laugh, and Learn this past Thursday, Kelly Talon Franklin, who is the executive director, the founder, indeed, of Courage for Freedom, which is a Canadian nonprofit. She's from Chatham, Ontario. And the whole effort of her work and the organization's work is to address the issues of human trafficking, broadly construed, human trafficking. She has a wonderful story. We spent a good half hour before the meeting kind of setting Zoom up and getting to know each other because we had never met at all. We never met in person, actually. We met only by the wonders of Zoom. And she shared a moving account of her growing up, her being in a difficult and abusive family relationship, her father being the chief abuser. And the anchor in her life was her local Catholic parish. Because in the narthex, when she would come in and pause at the holy water font to bless herself, on the wall was a picture of Jesus the Good Shepherd. And that was what got her through so many difficult situations. That's what gave her the courage to keep going and actually helped her very much when her life was in difficult, difficult circumstances to come back to wholeness and to help. She's always felt that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, was there with her to help her. And so she's turned that, she's turned her life of difficulty and sorrow and suffering into a force for good. And she taught us a lot about the whole issues of human trafficking, beyond just making issues around sexual abuse and sexual exploitation, but also artificial intelligence and the role of the internet and all of the challenges that face us. What she said was, conversation when you're thinking, what can we possibly do to help? She said, words to the effect, that each individual in a community has a role to play, because it is up to all of us to notice when things aren't right, or where people seem to be in distress, or where things are going on that seem suspicious, either in the marketplace, or the workplace, or in families, or in schools. Because, she said, people who are predators, the bad shepherds that Jesus talked about, the people who are predators and commit these crimes, their greatest fear is being noticed, or observed, or reported. They work in the darkness, often hidden behind screens and keyboards and devices. But they often portray themselves as perfectly normal, everyday people, but they are not. They take advantage of those in need or trouble. Exposure is what takes away their power. So it is up to all of us to be observant and to watch and to question. If someone doesn't seem quite right, if some situation doesn't seem quite right, speak up and report it. Even if you're mistaken and wrong, it still might be that call that, if you're right, saves someone. What can we do? By ourselves, but not much. By ourselves, we have limits. By ourselves, we have human limits, and Peter knew that. In the name of Jesus Christ, I urge you to rise up and walk. He didn't say, in the name of Peter. He didn't say, with everything that I have, I'll do something more for you. He offered saving grace in the name of our shepherd, Jesus. So on this Good Shepherd Sunday, I would urge us all to remember that we have a strength beyond our knowing. We have power beyond our thinking. We are able to help in ways that we do not anticipate. We have strength we do not know. And like Pauline Peterson, we can build small blazes, many small blazes, that together make a world that is filled with safe pastures for all God's people. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.
Amen.